This is the Woodland Hills Family Church podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Thank you for listening, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
We are grateful to be in this series, Summer Family Reunion. In June, we invite all sorts of friends that have been here over the years back to share with us. And today, Clay Scroggins is with us. He's been coming for I don't know how many years, but he pastored for over 20 years in Atlanta, Georgia. He now does a lot of speaking around the country. He's an author, wrote a great book that has benefited us as a church. Our staff has been through How to Lead When You're Not in Charge. I joke with them, I'm writing a book called How to Lead When You Don't Want to Be in Charge. But his book, we've been through many of his resources as a church staff. He's been a blessing to our church staff and to our church family. So would you give a nice, warm Woodland Hills welcome to our good buddy, Clay Scroggins. Come on out, buddy.
Thanks, Ted. Ted Cunningham is one in a million, maybe one in a thousand, I don't know. But Ted, when I went to Dallas Seminary, I'd heard a little bit about Ted and went to Dallas Seminary, not just because of Ted, but while I was there, I certainly was following in his footsteps. He's always been a little bit ahead of me in ministry, and I count him as a real mentor and a friend as well. I went to Dallas Seminary, and I went to study theology, but I ended up meeting this girl and started studying her. Hey. And we have been married now for 20 years. My wife, Jenny, is here today. So glad that you're here, babe. What's up? Our two oldest kids are here. Lucy's 17, Jake's 15, and we've got three other kids that are here in Branson as well with us. We drove in yesterday from Atlanta, Georgia. That is not a short drive. Some of you maybe have driven that drive before. And wow, I don't know how you feel today. I slept pretty good last night, but I still feel a bit exhausted. But I'm not alone. Anybody else feel exhausted? It's amazing. This is common in life right now. A lot of people feeling tired. And I don't know what it is. I was telling a good friend of mine about it. I was like, oh, I'm so tired. And he sent me this podcast. I don't know if any of you are podcasters, but it's a podcast called The Huberman Lab. And if you've never heard of it before, I can't necessarily recommend it. But this particular episode, the title of it was, What is Your Nuclear Sleep Stack? Some of you are like, I don't know what that means. And it's because you're a normal human. That's why. I'm just learning normal people do not have a sleep stack. But this is one of those podcasts where 10 minutes in, I was both fascinated, but I was also evaluating everything in my life and worrying that the coffee that I had at 1:30 p.m. was going to kill me. Because this thing was detailed on how to get good sleep. Here's what it says. There's some of the things. I mean, now to get good sleep, you got to have everything. And this sleep stack, the nuclear sleep stack that they included, it had everything in it. It had magnesium before bed. It had blackout curtains. It had white noise. It had red light bulbs. It had a cooling mattress. I don't know about that. It had, sleep gummies. Some of you are like, oh, gummies, I'm into those. Nope, different kinds of gummies. It had melatonin, right? And then it had brown noise at a particular, it gave the frequency of brown noise that it was recommending. It also included, and I kid you not, a military grade fan pointed directly at your face at 43 miles per hour of wind. Some of you are like, yeah, that sounds perfect, right? If you don't have a sleep stack, it might be because you have little kids. A sleep stack for me is, did I step on a Lego on the way to the bathroom at 2 a.m., right? And then some of you maybe have trouble sleeping. I get it. The older I get, the more I realize sleeping is just not easy. When I was 25, I could sleep through a tornado. Now the older I get, somebody opens a yogurt in the kitchen and I'm awake for the rest of the day. I'm like, that is all that it took for me. I'm definitely trying to limit the amount of times that I use the bathroom in the middle of the night. That's a new thing for me. And then hoping that I can get up out of bed without pulling a hamstring, because that's an embarrassing thing, right? But as I was listening to this podcast, I did think, okay, maybe there's more to our problem than just physical exhaustion. Maybe our souls are exhausted. Maybe our spirits are exhausted. Maybe life is just heavy, right? And the truth is, it is heavy. Let me just start with this simple little phrase. It's not just that life is full, it's that life does feel heavy. And maybe that's your circumstances today. Maybe today you've just got a lot on your plate. You've got a lot of people's expectations that you're carrying. You've got a lot of internal pressure. Maybe you even have some external pressure. Today, I believe, is filled with good news. The gospel of Jesus translated is the good news, right? That following Jesus, it's not simple and it's certainly not easy, but it is filled with good news. And so if you're a church person today, I hope today will be life-changing. If you're not a church person and you're here today, somebody invited you to Woodland Hills, we're so glad that you're here. If you love today, great. If you don't love today, I'm not gonna be preaching next week. So there's some good news for you, right? But I have a mentor who would constantly tell me, do not dare stand in front of people holding up the word of God and not expect that there is life change on the horizon, that God might just want to change something about our lives. And so I definitely believe that today. I believe that sitting in the seat that you're sitting in right now, that your whole life can change today. Because this passage that we're going to look at in Matthew chapter 11, if you have a Bible, you can turn there. We're going to put the words on the screen. But this passage is one of the most rich, one of the most powerful passages. This is one of those passages when Ted and I took preaching classes at Dallas Theological Seminary. This is one of those passages where they would give it to you and they would go, hey, if you can't preach this one, you probably ought to go find a new line of work. I mean, this is one of the most powerful statements that Jesus said. Here's the gist of it. Jesus is going to tell us today, hey, my burden is light. If you feel heavy, if you feel weighed down, I've got good news. I've got a burden that is not overbearing. I've got a burden that is not difficult for you to carry. I've got a burden that is possible for you to experience relief and rest in this life. But there's a flip side to all of this, and that is that potentially you and I are carrying something that was not ours to carry. Have you ever had that epiphany? That maybe there is some expectations that you feel, some pressure that you feel, a heaviness, a weightiness that you feel that is potentially not yours to carry. That there is the potential that you are carrying something that you are not equipped for, that you do not have the ability to handle, and that no one has even asked you to carry. In fact, a lot of us are carrying things that God never asked us to carry. I genuinely believe if the Almighty God stepped down into this room, into this church, into our present lives today, he would go, who asked you to carry that? I didn't. I never asked you to carry the weight of your entire family, the expectations of your parents, the expectations of your kids. I never asked you to carry the weight and the pressure of comparison on social media. I never asked you to carry all of that. Why do you think that you can carry that? No wonder you're exhausted. No wonder you're so tired. And it's not just physical. It's a deep fatigue, right? And the hardest part of all of this is not just that we're potentially carrying something that we're not even supposed to carry, that no one even asked us to carry. But here's the most tragic part of this conversation is that too many of us are carrying it alone. And let me just tell you, if that's you today, if you feel like, wow, Jesus gets me. God gets me. Yes, I feel tired. But I don't think I could say it. I wouldn't dare speak it out loud. I wouldn't dare tell anyone about it because I wouldn't want anybody to think that I'm complaining, or I wouldn't want anyone to think that I'm not grateful for my life because I am grateful and I don't want to come across as an ungrateful person. Right? No, I am. I'm grateful and I'm happy. I'm glad. Okay, it's good. But I'm exhausted and I don't know who to turn to. I don't know what to do. And maybe potentially you're carrying this alone. For my own life, this is what I'm learning. This is what I feel like God is teaching me, is that the weight that I feel, it isn't just life. It's how we're doing life. And this is my hope today, is that God might give you radical peace, radical rest, radical transformation. And I believe that God can do it without all of your circumstances changing. The crazy around you, probably still gonna be crazy. The family dynamics, probably still gonna be complicated. Some of the more difficult aspects of your life, they're probably not getting less complex. But I believe Jesus is inviting us into a new way of living today. One that is filled with his peace and his rest. I'm telling you, the promise today is significant. I want to look at this passage, Matthew 11, verse 28. We're going to go verse 28, verse 29, verse 30. And if you've been around church, you've heard these words before, but I want to just stop at a couple different places and try to allow God to open up our eyes to really see what Jesus is trying to tell us and to see what this invitation is that he's inviting us into. Look at the way this passage begins. It starts with these three words that are so powerful. Would you read them out loud? He says, come to me. He says, come to me. Jesus is the invitation. He says, whatever you're feeling, whatever you're experiencing, however you've come in here, do not just come to a group of people. Do not just come to an ideology. Do not just come to the church. No, he says, come to me. He says, I am all of that. So come to me. Now, good news is he doesn't give us three other words that we ought to have to figure out, right? Which is maybe fix your life, get cleaned up, stop being stupid. No, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say go figure it out for yourself and then come to me. He says, hey, listen, just as you are, with your scars, with your hurt, with your brokenness. He says, I love you just as you are right now, and you can come to me. I don't know of a more powerful invitation than that. He says, I'm inviting you, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, come to me. And then we move on to him describing who he's talking to. And you would think that he said these words in 2026. You read these words and you're like, well, that is how I feel today. Did they really feel this way 2,000 years ago when he stood on earth and said these words to his closest followers? Evidently so, which is baffling because this was before internet, before the iPhone, before Chat, GP, whatever, where you're asking all your questions to, right? That you don't want to tell anybody you're asking. He's going, before all that, people were still tired. People were still exhausted. Look at what he says. He says, come to me, all of, I love the King James version that says, come to me, all of ye, right? But in this case, he says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. Weary and burdened. If you feel weary, if you feel burdened, the invitation is for you. And these aren't the same two things. He's not just using the same two words or two slightly different words just for emphasis. No, these mean two different things. Weary represents all of the things that we do to ourselves. Do you have anybody in your family that complains about being busy? And you want so badly to tell them, stop complaining, you did this to yourself, right? I am that person. Certainly, I'm that person in my marriage. I'll complain to my wife about being busy, and she'll look at me like, are you crazy? Like, you did this to yourself. You said yes to all this stuff. And it's true. I am a people pleaser. I say yes to things that I don't have any business doing. I say yes to things. I said yes to something last week that I don't even want to do. I don't know what you know about panels. Not like panels on the wall. I would never say yes to that. But I got invited to sit on this panel at this conference, and I'm not really a big panel guy. I do a lot of public speaking. I do a lot of corporate speaking to businesses and for-profits and nonprofits and churches, and I love doing that. But sitting on a panel, it's a difficult thing for me. And somebody extended this invitation and asked me to be a part of this panel. On top of that, I don't really have time to go do this. But what came out of my mouth was different than the way I felt because I said, yes, I would love to. You ever have one of those moments where the words come out and you find yourself like trying to go grab them and put them back in, you know? I mean, number one, first of all, there's two lies to that. Number one, I said yes, which is not really how I felt. And then two, I said I would love to. I don't even want to do it. I don't even like panels. I don't even want to be at your dumb conference. But I said yes to it. And you know whose fault that is? That is my fault. So weariness are those things we say yes to that pile up on us, that keep us busy. Too often we wear that busyness as a badge and it causes us to be exhausted. But burden is different. Burden represents those things in life that you didn't necessarily take on. You didn't say yes to this. Usually it's because someone else was carrying responsibility and they laid it down. They didn't want to carry it anymore. They became irresponsible. And somebody had to pick up their responsibility. And so now all of a sudden, you're taking care of kids that are not your own kids. You're mowing somebody's lawn that's not even your own yard. You're handling somebody else's business that's not even your business. And you feel burdened because life is stacked up on top of you. And maybe you're that person in the family. Everybody's got one. It's that person in the family that everybody depends on, that everybody relies on, expecting you to pay for everything. Expecting you to schedule everything, expecting you to handle all the details of everything. And then when something doesn't go wrong, they blame you for it, right? And you feel burdened. And understandably so. And Jesus says to you, whether you're weary or whether you're burdened, he says, come to me. Come to me. Maybe you're taking care of somebody because they're sick. Maybe you're having to pick up for somebody else's financial collapse. Life feels burdensome. The invitation's for you. He says, come to me. Come to me, all of you who feel weary and burdened, and I will give you, what's the word? I'll give you rest. Some of you are like, does it come in the form of a Sunday afternoon nap? Hallelujah, say less, amen, preach it, right? Some of you are like, prophesy it. I'd like to have one of those today. But here's the thing. I believe he's not just talking about he will allow you to sleep. He will allow you to take a nap. This is not just about physical rest. This is about rest for your souls. How do we know that? Well, because he's going to reiterate that in just a second. But before he gets to the promise of all this, he says, I want to introduce you to a metaphor. And I feel, quite honestly, I feel a little insecure as the one to try to explain this metaphor. Those of you that know this passage and you know where this is going, what's he about to say? He's about to say, get up under, take up my yoke, right? Now, any of you got farm animals right now? How many of you, or you grew up on a farm? Yeah, so I feel real insecure talking about this in front of you because, listen, if you find me in a Bass Pro Shops, I will be glad to be there, but I will have been kidnapped, okay? I do not really do the outdoors. I get to a restaurant and they're like, would you like to sit indoors and outdoor or outdoor? And I'll be like, well, have y'all figured out how to condition the outdoor air? You haven't yet? Then we'll just take the one that's conditioned. We'll take the indoor air, right? I am an avid indoorsman. I love it on the inside. Love it on the inside. We got an 11-year-old son who is real passionate. I don't know where he got this because he did not get it from me, but he is real passionate about chickens. And he has been begging us for a year to own some chickens. And my wife and I, we really believe the Bible and we try to live our life according to the Bible. And that little illustration that Jesus gives where he talks about that woman, the neighbor who just kept beating on the door. You know, and finally the homeowner opened up the door. That was us. He beat on that door so long that we finally relented and we said, okay, if you want to get chickens, you can get some chickens. And I told him this, and I don't really know where I got this, but I was real adamant that I was like, hey, I do not want to be the one taking care of these chickens. And so I told him, I said, look, you got to figure out how to deal with these chickens. You're going to have to pay for these chickens and you're going to have to be the one to raise these chickens. And then I said this, and this is a little cruel, but I meant it. I said, I don't even want to make eye contact with these chickens. Now that's next level, right? I mean, but I felt it. As soon as I said it, I was like, now that's something I believe in. I don't want them to look at me and I do not want to look at them. I don't want them longingly looking into my eyes being like, can you hook me up with something? And because I'm going to be like, no, I told your owner that it is his job, right? It is not my, man, this is no yoke right here. I mean, this is for real. The only time I've ever even seen a yoke is on the wall at a Cracker Barrel. I mean, I am not the one to be explaining. I don't want to deal with the outdoor stuff, but this is just me. That's the way God made me. I'm gonna have to deal with it. But the way a yoke works, you know this, particularly those of you that grew up on a farm, or maybe you got some stuff now, right? It is a mechanism. It's a tool that we use to be able to get more accomplished, because you can take an older animal and partner it with a younger animal. You can take a strong animal and partner it with a less strong animal. You can take a Democrat, partner it up with a Republican animal, and they can accomplish great things. Ted said, don't get political. But I said, that's it. That's as close as we'll get. But you can partner them up together, and it's a thing where 2 + 2 is not just 4. It's 2 + 2 equals a whole lot more, right? That whole saying that the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. That's what the yoke allows the animals to do. And so Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you. But there's another level to this, because every rabbi in this day and age, every rabbi would have had his own yoke. Every rabbi would have had his own standard and requirements and expectations of his teaching. And they would have worn it with a sense of pride that, yeah, I got high expectations for my followers. I'm a rabbi that's tough. I'm fair, but I'm tough. It's like one of those personal trainers. It's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I can help work you out, but you're going to be exhausted because I got hard workouts, you know? And some of you are like me, and you're like, where's the 8-minute version of that one, right? But in Jesus's case, he goes, take my yoke upon you. And then look at what he says. He says, and learn from me, because my yoke is different. No rabbi would have defined or described himself as this way. But Jesus says, I am gentle and I am humble in heart. I have a gentle way and I'm humble in heart. I don't lord my power over you. I don't lord my authority over you. No, come and take up my yoke. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And then look at this promise. And you will find, there's that word again, rest. But he defines it this time. He says, I don't just mean physical rest. I mean rest for your soul. You interested in that? This is great. This is such good news that he says, hey, the rat race, the exhaustion of life, the way your life is headed, it's going to kill you. It's going to destroy you. It's going to suck the life out of you. Particularly if you are putting yourself up under someone else's yoke. And here's the hard thing about all this. You are currently under another yoke that was not meant for you. How do I know that? Because that's every one of us, and that's certainly me. About 5 years ago, I resigned from my job as a pastor at a church, and it was one of the hardest, most gut-wrenching, soul-crushing decisions that I'd ever had to make. But what led up to it is I was working at a church that it was the culture of this church. It was great, but it was an up and to the right kind of culture. You know what I mean by this? Where everything was it always had to be growing. Everything always had to be getting bigger. And that's just not the way life works. Life is not always up and to the right. And the pressure of that, when I put myself up under that yoke, it was doing harm to me. It was not good for me. How do I know that? Well, because I had 4 close friends that showed up at my house to do what I call an intervention. Now, I was not on drugs and I was not overusing alcohol, but they showed up at my hand. Whenever somebody shows up at your house and you're the reason why they're there, it feels like an intervention to me, right? And they looked at me and they said, hey, we're worried about you. We're worried that your soul is not in a good place. And truthfully, I felt loved, but I didn't want to listen to what they were saying. I was like, why are you here? What's your problem? What do you think my issue is? And they're like, the way you're responding right now, mainly your defensiveness, your inability to talk about this, your unwillingness to look inside and figure out what really is going on. I had a professional coach that I was meeting with at the time. I'm not smart enough to ask myself all the right questions that you need to ask to be able to get to where you need to be in life. And so I would meet with this coach once a month who would just ask me great questions. And one day he was asking me about, he was like, Clay, it seems to me that your friends were trying to tell you that it might be time for you. You've been 20 years, that it might not be the best. It might have been your dream job, but it might not be the right job anymore. Maybe you need to quit. And I was like, I don't like the idea of quitting. And he was like, why do you not like the idea of quitting? He said, what do you have against quitting? And I said, well, I don't have anything against quitting, but my dad does. And he was like, oh, let's talk about it. Now, listen, I have a father who is, he's one of the best men that I know. He's a tremendous person. But one of his leading attributes of life, particularly of character, is you stay. You stay when things get hard and you do not quit. And so I realized that I had taken on this yoke that told me that quitting meant failure. And that's not even what my dad would have meant, but that was what I had ascribed to. It was another yoke that I was up under that was not necessarily the right one for me in that moment. It's not like I had been there 3 months or 6 months. I had been there 20 years. My wife and I, we had gone on during that season of life, we went on 100 walks. We would just walk around our neighborhood and talk, and our kids were real young back then. And she finally, you ever have talk with your spouse so much, they're complaining about something so much that you're like, I'm tired of hearing this. I mean, she was so patient. She rarely got to that point, but every now and then she would say, have you thought about talking to a counselor about this? And she was right. And I did. I eventually went to see a counselor and tried to talk it all through. And eventually I got to the point where I realized that I had taken on something. I had taken on expectations and pressures that were not mine to carry and that were not good for me. And it was through that season of my life that I learned more than ever what it looked like to come to Jesus. I had to have a come to Jesus meeting with myself. And maybe, just maybe, that's you today. It's not about career. The application today is not go quit your job. Though some of you might need to go do that. I don't know. It's not, oh, this person I've been married to is ball and chain and this ain't working out. And got hit. That pastor today said, go quit. No, no, no. That's not what it's about for sure. I'm telling you today, marriage, parenting, career, they're all just ways that God uses what's going on in our life to try to grow us and sanctify us and ultimately bring us to Him. And God used my career to drive me to Him. It was a come to Jesus conversation. It was a come to Jesus moment. And today that invitation is here for you. And here's the promise if you'll do it. Here's what he says. Look at this last thing. This is verse 30. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, this doesn't mean easy, simple. This doesn't mean easy, like you will never have to do anything. You'll never have to work again. You'll never have to figure anything out. No, 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 no. He's just saying that if you'll get under my yoke, it's tailor-made for you. It's perfect for you. It's the way you were designed to live. Those of you that are into Bible trivia, question for you. You remember what Jesus's profession was? What was his profession? Carpenter. Yeah, he's a carpenter, right? Some people are like, he's a Christian. That's what he did for a living, right? It's like, no, not necessarily. He was a carpenter, right? He built things with his hands. He probably worked with his dad and had a carpenter shop. And I remember when I was reading this the other day, I was looking at it going, this feels like something you would hang on the wall of a carpentry shop. You think Jesus ever made a yoke? I bet he did. And I bet he would have told a customer, listen, the yokes we build, they're not like any other yokes. They're perfect for you. They're easy. And they have this burden about them that's just light. And if you'll get up under it, you'll get to experience that. So let me ask you just two questions before we close this thing out today. And these are not just questions that I came up with just to try to finish the sermon. No, no, no. I genuinely want you to think about these. I want you to spend some time processing these, doing a little introspection. For some of you, you won't need any time. You'll immediately know the answer to it. But others of you, you might need to dwell on this, meditate on it, answer, spend some time thinking about it. Maybe this week, maybe one morning this week when you woke up for the fourth time to use the bathroom in the middle of the night. Ask this question. What are you carrying that was not meant for you to carry? What is the yoke that you're carrying that you were not meant to carry? Usually, it is in the form of an expectation from someone else. Usually, it comes in the form of some kind of internal pressure you're putting on yourself, or some kind of external pressure that you feel like maybe somebody's putting on you. And it's not their fault. You got to figure out what is it? You got to identify it. What is the yoke that I've put myself under? What is the thing that I'm carrying that was not meant for me to carry? And then secondly, what specifically would it look like for you to come to Jesus? This was the hardest part of preparing for this message today is I wanted so specifically to go, and here's what you need to do. This is what come to me looks like for every single one of you. But the truth is, I don't know. I don't know your specifics. I don't know the complexities of your life. I don't know what makes your world so complicated. I don't know exactly what it looks like for you at 6:47 on a Tuesday morning to come to Jesus. But if you'll ask him, I bet he'd love to show you. If you'll ask him, I bet he'd love to help you with that. So what does it mean specifically? Would you spend some time thinking about that? Maybe write some things down. What does it look like for you to come to him on a moment by moment, daily basis? Jesus is, he's offering us an upgrade today. He's offering us something way better than what we're currently experiencing. I deeply believe your best life is on the other side of your willingness to come to him. Here's what he's doing. He's going, hey, I got a trade for you. Would you be willing to trade your exhaustion for his rest? Would you be willing to trade your pressure for his presence? Would you be willing to trade your weight for his yoke? The opportunity is on the table. The ball is in your court, as they say. What are you going to do? Would you be willing to just say yes to his invitation? Would you be willing to come to him? The good news isn't that life gets lighter. Anybody feel like life's slowing down or is it picking up? Is it getting less complicated or more complicated? Those of you, the kids, is life getting less expensive or more expensive? Some of you, the whole time I've been talking about yolk, all you've been thinking about is the price of eggs. You'd be like, yes, these yolks are so expensive, right? Listen, life's not slowing down. It's not getting easier. It's not getting lighter. But he tells you that if you'll come to him, you don't have to carry it alone. If you'll come to him, he's saying, hey, come on. I know you're weary. I know you're burdened. Come to me. I want to give you rest for your soul. So if you'd be willing right where you are, would you just stand up? We're going to pray to end our message today. Would you stand up right where you are? If you don't want to stand up, you feel like you can't stand up, then just sit right where you are. But I'd love to just invite you to close your eyes, to bow your head, and maybe, just maybe, would you be willing, for some of you this might feel a little odd to do, but would you be willing to just hold your hands out? This isn't so somebody can steal your wallet. No, this is because I've just learned that the posture of our hands make a difference in the heart of our prayers. That as long as our fists are clenched, we're gripping the steering wheel as tight as we can, it's hard to receive. And some of you need to hear that still small voice of the Almighty going, come to me. Father, we need you. We invite you, just like you've invited us. Help us to see what it is that is burdening us, weighing us down. Father, would you give us the courage? Would you give us the willingness to say yes to you? Not just on a Sunday morning, but even throughout this week, in those quiet moments, in those busy moments, in those moments where we feel like we're about to pull our hair out. Give us the ability to say yes to you. Show us what it looks like in real, tangible ways. Show us what it looks like to come to you. Father, for the person that really is weary, the person that really is burdened, where they feel like, I can't even believe I made it here today. Father, just give them a sense of your presence right here, right now, that you're with us, that you are with him, you are with her, even now. And Father, more than anything, I pray that you would allow us to trust you. There is no one that we can trust in that's better than you. And so we trust in you, Almighty God, Jesus, Son of God, Spirit of God, we trust in you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.